Hey, it's Monday, September 16th, and this is Beginner's Puck, the podcast for hockey fans both new and old. Hey, Erica.
Hey, Deb.
Guess what?
Hockey's back.
Yes! Almost. And we are too. This is our third season of Beginner's Puck, where we hopefully are dropping some hockey knowledge onto you, or maybe explaining some things you don't understand, and basically just squeeing a lot about hockey.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of that.
Yes. Hopefully. Fingers crossed, because we've all had some huge changes in our respective home teams.
And in some cases, that's why we're squeeing.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. I don't know. I'm nervous. But training camps. All right. Training camps are back. They've started this past week as we are recording. We've got some preseason games coming up. So it is well and truly underway. So I know.
Yeah. The very first preseason game just ended like minutes ago.
Yeah. I went to training camp on Friday, and I know you went to like fan day and then training camp today. Or was it yesterday?
I went to the Oilers Flames rookie game last weekend.
Okay, right.
I went to the Oilers fan day yesterday. Mm-hmm. Saw like an open practice and stuff, and then I went to an Oilers scrimmage with a bunch of the young guys who may or may not make the team today. So right. I have had so much hockey in the last couple of weeks. It's amazing.
Now, as we're saying, like today, we're recording this on Sunday. So yes. While we're saying this, correct, is September 16th, this is when it is dropping, but we're talking, mm-hmm, we're having this conversation on Sunday. So if there's any confusion with dates and times, that's what it is. So yeah, I went to the opening day of training camp for the Flyers on this past Friday. I did not make it to the rookie game because I had a sick child at home, sadly, who was going to go with me to the rookie game. Was very excited about that, but unfortunately caught a stomach virus and it wasn't pretty. So I missed the rookie game, but it was interesting. You know, all right, so I'm going to bump this up because I originally had in our notes to talk way down this. We both have had a lot of changes in our respective home teams. My home team is the Flyers. Your home team is the Oilers. So what is new this year with the Oilers?
It might be easier to say what's not new.
What is
with
not
the Oilers?
New with the Oilers? Let's start from top to bottom, because that's where we are with the Flyers.
Yeah, we have, since last season, we have a new general manager, Kenny Holland, who was previously with Detroit for a very long time. He's got, a lot of years under his belt. He is new. We have a new coach, Dave Tippett, who hasn't been coaching for a couple of years. He'd been with multiple teams before that. People were suspecting he was going to go to Seattle because he had been working with their group that's getting the new team up and running, but nope, we nabbed him. So both of those guys brought along bits and pieces of their own staff. One major part, I think, of Ken Holland's staff that he brought along are some of his scouts. And he historically has been known for finding some really great talent in European players, and has drafted some pretty excellent folks from across the pond. And so one of the exciting things that we got to see today and yesterday when we were watching these fellas play is a bunch of players who came over from Europe, so we don't really know a whole lot about them. It's kind of exciting. Like, they're unknown quantities, but because he has had so much success in the past with finding some great players, like, I'm trying to think, Zetterberg, I believe, is somebody that he managed to swoop up in, like, I don't know, like around pick 200 or something in the draft. I mean, like, a long time down there. We've got some possibilities on the horizon. Now, we don't know for sure exactly who's going to make the team yet, but it was exciting to watch them today.
Yeah, we kind of did a real big house cleaning over at the end of last season. So we got rid of our GM, as you know. Mm-hmm. And that happened before, I think before we stopped recording. We got a new coach, Aline Vigneault. We got two new assistant coaches in Michelle Therion and Mike Yeo. Aline Vigneault, I believe his last coaching job was with the New York Rangers. Michelle Therion was the Montreal Canadiens, and Mike Yeo with the St. Louis Blues. So three former head coaches, cautiously optimistic. We brought some new players in. It just, but you know, when you deal with that kind of big culture shift, it's a little, I don't know. I was talking to our friend Rachel, because she went with me the first day of training camp. And I said, it's so new. I don't know whether to feel excited or not, or just like really nervous. Because obviously sports media is going to focus on all the negatives, right? They're going to focus on, well, Vigneault was not really good at developing young players, and look at all these great young players that the Flyers have. Michelle Therion has a reputation for picking a whipping boy in every locker room who is just, you know, can do no right ever. And that sort of an infamous story about him that former players have talked about. So, you know, who is that going to be? Is that still going to be, you know, is that going to be the case? I don't know. I'm really nervous. Like I said, cautiously optimistic. We did go to training camp, and this was my third training camp that I had been to for opening day. And I did see it was really different. The drill style was different. It was really super fast paced. It was, you're doing a drill, all of a sudden Vigneault would whistle. He would give you like, you know, 1, 2, 3, and you were starting the next drill. Like it, there was no, let's stop and talk about this in betwixt and between.
Yeah. Like that was the same thing for us too. It was really interesting. Like I had no idea what they were doing to start with. So it was just, it looked like chaos on the ice, and then there'd be a whistle, and then they'd be doing something else. And then there'd be a whistle, and they would be doing something else. It was like, I don't even know if he was, you know, they were yelling out what to do next, or if they were just prepped ahead of time. Okay, we're going to start with this one, then move on to that one. So it'd be like, oh, okay, so this is 3-on-2 practice, or oh, I see, this is, you know, like they're drilling the goalie. It was intense.
It's interesting because I, you know, I've been following along on Twitter a little bit to see how everybody's training camps are going, and every team has such different styles. Hakstol loved the bag skate. You know, he would do the skating test at the end where he just went up and down and up and down, and Vigneault likes a more, let's divide everybody into four groups and we're going to circle the rink. So that was different. One thing that really confused everybody, because the session would have a break. In the, like, it, we had three groups. We had an A, B, and C group, and each session would skate for so long. Then they'd have a break, and they would switch over to the second rink. Now, the Flyers' practice rink is not it's not glamorous. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a nice facility. It has two full size rinks, but you know, they hold lots of skating lessons there. They do a lot of, you know, younger teams, and it doesn't have proper seats. They're like metal bleachers, you know, of like four rows. So every year they would do that break, and while the Zamboni was cleaning the ice, the players immediately went to the other sheet of ice, you know, just walk back through the locker room, I guess, and get over there. So when they did their break, everybody, because everybody, you know, most people had been there before, got up, walked over to the other rink and sat down, and we were sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, somebody walked in and said, hey, they're back on the ice over here. So we all got up and went back. So it's like, okay, you've messed everybody up. You know, we have this routine. And I thought, well, maybe it's a metaphor. We have expectations, and they're here to break all those expectations. I don't know. We shall see.
Yeah, it's exciting. I finally found my notes that I had forgotten to pull up on some of the European players that I'm excited about. We have Joachim Nygaard, who's like a really fast Swede who has really excelled in Europe on the left wing. He's never been drafted. He was doing a pretty solid job over the last couple of days. I was impressed. Gaetan Haas, who's a Swiss league center, also not drafted, but was really excellent in Europe. I didn't notice as much from him, but it's hard to watch like every single player. And I think I already mentioned Joel Pearson, who is also Swedish. And he was earlier in camp, they had him playing first line D next to Klefbom, which was interesting. Today, Klefbom didn't play. This was all just sort of the noobs. So yeah, it's interesting to see if you know, Ken Holland will have pulled another Henrik Zetterberg or Pavel Datsyuk or something like that in one or two of these fellows. And, you know, it's one of those things that could really pay off, and you could have somebody who's amazing that nobody expected.
Yeah, that would be exciting. We did not do anything exciting like that. We brought some vets over. So we have Kevin Hayes was signed for 7 years, which contracted, I think, is a little overpaid. but hey, you know, I'm just me sitting in my basement. I'm not a GM. we traded for Justin Braun at the end of last season to play defense, which we needed after getting rid of Gudas. And then, which is really weird, we have Matt Niskanen, which played for the Capitals. He was a former Penguin before that, and then played for the Capitals. I'm used to seeing him as a Capital, so it was really weird seeing him on ice, because we do play the Caps a lot. They're in our division. So, yeah. So that was strange, like, to see. For years, we've just been so focusing on bringing up these young players and occasionally trading. So here we have, like, three really big moves, which is just such a departure from Ron Hextall's GM styling. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm nervous, Erica. I'm really nervous.
Yeah, fair.
But since we're starting out this year, let's take a quick step back in time, because we really kind of ended our season abruptly last year due to some life events. I had a job change. You had a death in the family, which was really sad.
Yep.
So it was, you know, our summer, our off season was a little rocky. So we never talked about the Stanley Cup.
I know. The Stanley Cup final happened, and, you know, we watched it and celebrated in our own way, but we never got together to talk about it.
We never did. So how do you feel about St. Louis coming back and winning that?
Well, you know what? At the time, I was super excited. And right now, I am just as excited, because the fact that St. Louis was last in the league in the middle of the season and came
January.
Back to literally win the entire jackpot gives me some extra hope for my team that was also not doing super great at the end of last year. And, like, you can make a few really important key moves and make a really big difference in the team. And I just, like, I'm not counting any chickens, but I am crossing all my fingers that maybe some of the moves that we have made are going to lead to some success like that. Because, like, when John Hamm was being interviewed after the game, when the St. Louis Blues won, like, that was pure and unadulterated joy from a fan who just loves his team. Mm-hmm. And I want to feel John Hamm joy for my team someday.
John Hamm joy. All right.
Yep.
I'm marking that down. This is our new catchphrase. Are we feeling John Hamm joy?
Yep.
Were you sparked to John Hamm joy? Okay. yeah. Like, oh, but, you know, I look at that and I'm thinking, this is what a goalie on fire will get you. And it all comes down to that, doesn't it? Jesus.
It makes a huge difference. And I mean, and then the goalie being on fire helps the team be on fire. And then when the team's on fire, they can help keep the goalie on fire. It's just, there are so many steps that are super important. And I am also now interested in watching to see how Jordan Binnington does this next season, because there's a part of me, like a pessimistic part of me, that's just like, yeah, he's probably not going to be that great. Like, this was a thing that happened briefly, flash in the pan. And now he's going to be a moderately successful goalie, but not lights out.
I don't know.
My hot take.
He was a little scary. Like, first of all goalies are really weird, but he just had, like, this look in his eye that was a little, I don't know. It was like really looking into a deep, dark place.
It was kind of frightening. The intensity.
Really was. It was very intense. Super intense. Yeah, and they were such a dysfunctional team. They were fighting on the ice in practice. I mean, they were a hot mess. But, you know,
maybe it's just like when you have a really big fight with your partner and then you have some really great makeup sex, and the end of the season for the St. Louis Blues was just one long session of really great makeup sex.
Well, that's a thought that never crossed my mind, and I'm not sure I can get rid of it now.
Figuratively. I mean, except for all the fanfic writers, I'm sure. But like, sure. Figuratively.
Yeah. You know, AO3, here we come. Okay. I think I was slightly disappointed that they weren't, you know, the celebration wasn't nearly as exuberant as the Washington Capitals the year before, but I think they just were over the top. Not that I don't think St. Louis was excited to win, because they were. It was their first win in God knows how many years. I forget the last time.
Ever.
It was their first, right. But it was the first time they even got close in a really long time, but it was their first win. But the personalities in the team maybe aren't so large. What the story that I pulled out of it that I just love, besides Gloria, because that happened, that originated in Philadelphia, the whole Gloria phenomena was fantastic, was Ryan O'Reilly. You know, here is a guy who was traded to Buffalo the year before, or traded from Buffalo, excuse me, the year before. He just was like, didn't even know if he liked hockey anymore. I mean, he had this
his great quote was like, he lost his, I lost my love for the game. It was something similar to that, that was very catchy.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at this guy and you're thinking, he's making good money. He's playing a sport that he loves. And when you lose the joy in that, so here he goes from that situation to being the Conn Smythe winner to, you know, having that cup and just the joy. The joy of that and seeing him fall back in love with the sport. I mean, it's always those little small personal stories in hockey. I mean, the game is tremendously exciting, but I love those little nuggets. And that was a great narrative to pull out of that. So yeah, talk about dysfunctional. I think he was a metaphor for the team. Here was somebody really dysfunctional from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs. So good job. Yeah,
and I mean, comparing it to the Caps win and celebration is interesting too, because like, it was such a different experience for both of them. The Caps had come close a lot of times and not made it.
They tasted it.
Yeah. The Blues really never got a taste until they were eating the entire pie. So maybe they were a little bit shocked, like the rest of us were, that they even won it. And, you know, maybe it's just a little bit of Midwestern versus coastal celebration.
It could
style.
Be.
I don't know.
Maybe there was a little imposter syndrome thing going on, like you said, because it's like, did we really do that? Did we deserve it? I don't know. So yeah, interesting. No, but it was good. It was fun. They were the underdogs. I think, you know, a lot of people were rooting for them at the end. And I know I was. I was team St. Louis. Mm-hmm. So excellent job. All right. Other things that happened over the summer. Oh my gosh. The trades. There were some interesting trades. You had one on your team I'll let you discuss that one and see. How do you feel about Mr. Milan Lucic?
Well, I was never a huge fan of Lucic's style of play. Like, that's just not the type of hockey player that I learned to love hockey because of. It's like I learned to love hockey in spite of players like that. So I was always rooting for him to do well on the Oilers, but he just never quite seemed to fit. He'd have moments where he'd be right where he needed to be at the right time, and those moments were kind of few and far between. And his contract is a lot for, you know, for what we're getting. So I was not super happy about having him on the team. I'm not going to say that I was super excited to get James Neal in return. I haven't really paid a super close amount of attention to him as a player at all. But I know that he's, again, a little bit more of that, like, you know, big body, tough guy sort of player, as opposed to the swift, skilled player, which is more my jam. So I don't know. I have heard people say that Edmonton totally won that trade. I have heard people say that Calgary clearly won that trade. I think the jury is just out. As we were talking about, like, the mind space of the players is a really important thing. So it's possible that both of those players are going to be amazing this season, because they are just in a place where it makes more sense for them, that they just feel better. They're going to Ryan O'Reilly it up. It's also possible that they are just on the downslope of their careers and they will both continue to slope down. It's possible that it could be one, you know, one goes one way, one goes the other way. I don't think anybody is going to know who won this trade until we've actually seen these players on the ice for like a good 16 games. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there was some interesting. That was interesting. And there was a couple that kind of shook me up a little bit. First of all, I don't know. I don't like change. I realize you have to have change.
This is the wrong sport for you, Deb.
I understand that. But like I said, I mean, I am always player first mentality, right? So like, mm-hmm. I just, when you see somebody like Tyson Barrie, who was such an integral part of that Colorado Avalanche core, get traded to he went to Toronto. And there was a video that was being filmed. I think it was Paul Bissonnette filmed, because he was out to lunch and he actually filmed the whole time when it was happening in real time. It was like, oh, you know, like things like that, they hurt a little bit. But, you know, Toronto made some interesting moves because they were under a huge cap space issue. And we'll talk about Toronto a little bit later in the program. But they made a bunch of trades. Phil Kessel from the Penguins to Arizona was huge. And if anybody is a subscriber to The Athletic, there was a really, really great article about Evgeny Malkin and just his struggles last year. And it talks about, you know, his conflicts with Kessel. And even if you're not interested in that part of it too, here's a player who's not very open in the media. And he's really talking about his struggles, his mental struggles last year, and just, you know, where he was fitness wise and everything else. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So that was surprising. It was basically one of them had to go, and they chucked Kessel. And Joe Pavelski from the Sharks, our captain, got traded.
Yeah, that's just like, you know, being in the Pacific Division, he was the backbone of that team, or mm-hmm. one of the backbones. Like, there are several in that core, but yeah, wow, him wearing a different color,
that's
wrong.
Going to be really, really weird. Now, I was very happy he was traded to Dallas because, you know, Dallas has been, you know, one of my sort of faves for a long time. But then Dallas went and got Corey Perry.
Yeah.
And I noped right out of that. Like, come on. Like, all right, so what do you do? Because I think you've had a situation where you had a player traded this season too that you're not that fond of. What do you do when a player that you do not like intensely is traded to a team that you do like? I don't know. I is the bloom off the rose here for me? Am I going to be able to like even cheer for this team as much as I did before?
I mean, for me, it depends on why I dislike that player. If that player was abusing his wife or animals or, you know, something really terrible and awful like that, you know, making racist or homosexual slurs, then I have real trouble. And possibly just don't root for the team. You know, we've talked before on this podcast about Slava Voynov. Yep. Like, if he were to end up on the Edmonton Oilers, I just realized that my Edmonton Oiler baseball cap collection is up to like 5 or 6. They would all go to Goodwill. I would be done. But if it's something like, say, Mike Smith, who is my least favorite goalie in terms of playing style, and suddenly he's on my team, well, I just hope that he does better in terms of play than he has. I hope he is a little more judicious in the amount of playing the puck that he tries to do. Doesn't screw his team over with that. And I hope that he seems a little bit less whiny after things don't go the team's way. And, you know, I don't like it when a goalie appears to be mad at his team.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot with Mike Smith. So if I start watching some Oilers games once the season starts and I see Mike Smith like doing that, like, you know, I'm pouty, things aren't going my way, gesturing angrily at his defenseman and his team, I am going to be really ticked off. So, yeah. I mean, I'm still going to cheer for the Oilers to win, but I don't know. There may be a part of me that is cheering for him to fail, but not so much that we lose. Is that a thing?
Just make him the backup, and maybe the backup. sort of thing. You know, AHL. AHL's fine. You can like hang out there. I don't know. Ugh, I don't know. This is really strong for me because, you know, there's a few players in the league that I just find really distasteful, their style of play. And Corey Perry is one of them. He's, as your husband likes to say, he's an orc. And I am not going to enjoy watching that behavior on the ice, even if it's benefiting a team that I like, because I just don't like that style of just bruiser. Do you know what I mean? Like, ugh.
That's why I was a little bit relieved. Like when Zach Cassian came to the Oilers after being such a bruiser type player on the Canucks, and also Lucic, who was very more in the previous to, in his career, he was more bruisery on in Boston and in LA. And both of them sort of toned that down when they got to the Oilers. And I don't know what the reason, if that was a coaching thing or what, but I found it easier to cheer for them because they weren't playing so dirty all the time. Like Cassian still has his moments. And when he has those moments, I yell at my TV and say, stop doing that. Stop being dumb. But yeah, it's less now.
Right, this is,
and hey,
this,
in practices, they have had him on the wing with McDavid and Draisaitl. So I'm hoping that if they do put him out there in the real world, when games really start, that maybe he will be thinking, oh, I don't actually have to play quite so dirty right now because like to make something happen because I'm on a line with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Right.
And if that were to happen, maybe he could just be in the right place at the right time and use the speed and skill that he actually has and not waste it by like tripping people. See, I have so much hope, Deb. I'm going to be so crushed in like 3 months. It's going to be terrible.
I want to hold on to this moment of your hope. I really, really
right? Well, we can. It's a podcast. It's recorded. We can come back anytime.
I want you to have John Hamm joy. Oh, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm really having a dilemma. I've been kind of ignoring it all summer, but we'll see. It may be that Dallas falls out of favor and it could happen because there's a lot of other exciting things happening. Some other big trades that were interesting was my beloved Wayne Simmonds, who did not stick at all in Nashville, was traded to the New Jersey Devils along with PK Subban, which I love. All right, they're our closest divisional rivals, right? I mean, New Jersey's they're literally an hour, 15 minutes away. So we play them frequently. I don't want them to do well because if they do well, it means we are not doing well. But oh my God, between Taylor Hall and Nico Hischier and Jack Hughes and Wayne Simmonds and PK Subban, like they just look like fun. Do you know what I mean? Like, so as a Flyers fan, I'm just like, as a hockey fan, I'm like, huh? Oh, yeah, you know, maybe. So that was huge. And I think this is, I think it's really good for both of those players. I think it's a good environment for them. They just, again, PK is a huge personality. I think he's going to fit right in Jersey. And the New York environs, they kind of dig big personalities there. I think it's a great fit. So I'm going to be kind of keeping an eye on them. Shh, don't tell the Flyers.
My lips are sealed.
Yeah. All right. So the other big story, bringing us back to today, to this day as we're recording. The other big news is all of the unsigned RFAs, which is giving me agita. These hockey boys. Okay. Now, as I said earlier, I am player first all the time. I want them to get their money. I want them to get the biggest payout possible because the life of a hockey player is not easy. It is short. It is brutal. It can end catastrophically at any time. There's concussions, bone breaks, knee injuries. I mean, you just don't know how much time you have.
And
so,
even if you have a lot of time and it doesn't end catastrophically, the fallout from what you have put your body through can be catastrophic for the rest of your life.
It can be. I mean, there are players who are still suffering from concussion issues and will be for the rest of their lives. So, yeah. So get that money, kids. Like, get it now and sock it away for a rainy day. That being said, oh my God, this summer has been so anxiety inducing. You don't have anybody holding out on your team, do you?
Nope.
Okay, so you're all locked and signed up. So we just signed, we had two holdouts, two of our RFAs that we needed to sign, Ivan Provorov and Travis Konecny. Now, Ivan Provorov signed the day before camp started, signed on Thursday. Nice deal. I think it was a deal that was leaning heavily on what they thought his production should be rather than based on the previous years, because he did have kind of an off year, which is, you know, okay, it happens. Mm-hmm. Travis Konecny has still not signed. And a lot of this is, and we've talked about it in our Slack over the summer, Mitch Marner was kind of holding up the whole shebang because
everybody wanted to see what he was going to do.
Everybody was going to see what kind of money. It's like buying a house, right? Like you go to buy it or you go to sell your house and the realtor comes in and like, all right, what's the comparables? What's everybody else selling their house for? Because if everybody is selling their house for $250,000 and you come in and list your house for $500,000, people aren't going to buy your house. You need to like be comparable somewhere in there. And everybody wanted to see what those numbers were going to be with Marner, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we said in our Slack, he is the big giant turd clogging up the toilet.
Basically, that's exactly what he was.
Yes. Now, I love Mitch Marner. I adore him. He's one of my favorite players. I just think he is generally a fluffy kitten of a human being and is just a good person based on the things I've seen in social media and the interactions he has with fans. I adore him. I am so glad that he got money. But, oh my God, come on. He didn't sign his contract until Friday. Was it Friday or Saturday? Like it was the day after training camp started for the Maple Leafs.
Leaving it a little late there, buddy.
Yeah, well, they had that Nylander situation last year that literally went to the last minute of the last day that Nylander would have been eligible to play. Mm-hmm. It was like December 1st or something. Yeah.
Yeah, so, he missed a bunch. And then when he came back, he really was unimpressive. So
yes,
it's good that they didn't repeat that situation.
So they didn't. They're in trouble. I mean, they have got cap space issues for decades, but, you know, that's not my problem. that's why I'm sitting in my basement recording a podcast and not a GM. But there's still a lot of them out there. Charlie McAvoy signed today. That was a big holdout for the Bruins. Like I said, Travis Konecny still has not signed. We have a list. I sent a list in the in our notes for today. Mm-hmm. So Patrick Laine.
That's right.
I mean, he was number two in Matthews's year. It was the number two pick. And he was indignant that people would think that he would be number two. He felt he should be number one. And the Jets have not offered him a contract. There was rumors going around that they were looking out west to trade him. And what I heard yesterday, he's actually going to go to Switzerland and play over in Switzerland until this is all resolved.
Wow.
Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like, what is going on there? Now, his production last year wasn't great. He's streaky as all get out.
Yeah, I mean, he can score goals, but he doesn't seem to be very strong at anything else. Which is not, you know, goals are important. Goals are very important. But there are also other things that are important. And if you can't do that, it's hard to want to give somebody the big time money.
Players want long contracts, or maybe they don't want long contracts. I don't know. Like, what is the new norm?
I don't know.
Because Matthews only signed for 5 years last year. I think he's like thinking, I'm going to be great for 5 years and I want more money, or the cap is going to go up and I'm going to get more money. I don't know.
Maybe if they're not great,
I have an opportunity to like leave.
I thought it was interesting on the 31 Thoughts podcast. They had an interview with Nikolai Ehlers, and they asked him about, I can't remember if the question was framed around Laine or if it's just framed around training camp. Like, what are you going to say to him, like, when you see him at camp? And Ehlers was just like, well, you know, he's not going to be there. Patty's not going to be there. We were just like, oh, okay. I guess, you know, why hide it?
Yeah. All right. So I'm looking at Cap Friendly right now, and I'm going to refresh this because it could have changed as we started podcasting to see if anybody has. All right. So right now, unsigned, we have Kyle Connor in Winnipeg, Patrick Laine in Winnipeg, Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary, Brock Besser in Vancouver, Saku Manalaren, excuse me, Carolina, Mika Rantanen in Colorado, Travis Konechny, Travis, Julius Honka in Dallas, Anthony DeAngelo in New York Rangers, Brandon Carlo in Braden Point, Carlo in Boston and Braden Point in Tampa. I mean, these are some big flashy names.
Yeah, Braden unsigned. Point, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. This is, I don't recall in these 3.5 years I've been a hockey fan, there ever been this many RFAs unsigned at the beginning of training camp. I just, like, I'm so anxious. Like, I just, like, keep refreshing NHL.com. Like, come on, is somebody signed? Is somebody signed? What's going on? Yeah, I don't know. These guys.
I mean, I guess, yeah, on the one hand, it is nerve-wracking, but on the other hand, like, since I am definitely an Oilers first fan, part of me is like, yes, chaos everywhere else.
Keep Tkachuk out of training camp. Keep him out of all the preseason games. He can miss a few.
That would make me so happy because, you know, we generally play a bunch of preseason games, you know, against the teams that are near us, which means Calgary. And if I get to watch some games without having to see a Tkachuk on the ice, oh, happy day.
I know he's not your favorite.
No.
Yeah.
Again, there's that style of play. So I don't like the dirty little players is the thing.
And again, a lot of these players they're difference makers for their team. I'm a little concerned about Konechny, to be perfectly honest. First of all, it's been indicated that management is not happy that he has not yet signed a contract. And when you're dealing with a new coach, you don't want to piss the coach off before you've even started. Second of all, you know, Konechny's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a solid player. He is not a superstar player. He's
not a Mitch Marner.
He's not a Mitch Marner. And during training camp, they had Joel Farabee, who was one of the, you know, younger kids coming up, playing in his position. He was doing pretty good, I gotta say. So,
oh boy.
Yeah. So part of me is like, Travis, get your money. The other part of me is like, Travis, get your butt in here because you're not irreplaceable. And I like you. I like your style of play. You are scrappy. You're a smaller player, but you play big. And yeah, so I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried for that because, again, this is not an ideal situation when you are dealing with a completely new staff, top to bottom. And, you know, you're that guy. So.
Yikes.
But again, lots of new faces at training camps. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff going on. All right. So before we get to our what the puck, because I want to go back to that training camp thing, because like I said, lots of new faces, lots of new spaces, and talk about some of the people who were there generally. Let's do a little hockey Tinder. So,
okay, you're going to have to walk me through this. I have zero familiarity with Tinder.
Okay. I don't have much personal familiarity, but hey, I read a lot. All right. So Tinder, you know, you get a chance to create a profile. Other people create a profile. And if it's a dating site and if you feel like you're matching with somebody, you swipe right. If you feel like you're going to give them a miss, you swipe left. So last year, we all have our hometown loyalties, obviously. But we also had some teams that we flirted with a lot. You know, the backup boyfriends and the backup boyfriends and the little side pieces. So I know at the end of last year, you were flirting with the Panthers a little bit. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see, looking at the rosters right now, as they stand, potentially stand, who is really exciting you in the league this year, not just your own team, but who out there do you think you might be keeping a weather eye on who just kind of might make your hockey life a little more exciting, if you know what I mean, wink, wink. So who do you see yourself swiping right on this season?
I would say I'm still swiping right on the Panthers. I have actually continued to listen to their official podcast all the way through the summer months. You know, hire it, not so much the on-ice talent, although there's a lot of that down there, but also the fact that they hired Joel Quenneville. And that in and of itself, like, yes, he is a multiple Stanley Cup winning coach. That is great. But the fact, like, you just bring in someone of that stature and it boosts everybody who's on the ice to up their game to impress him. And that's, the Panthers were one of those teams last year where they didn't make the playoff, but a lot of the pundits thought they kind of should have based on like the amount of talent that they had and that it just kind of, you know, the puck just didn't quite go their way. So they are a bit of a force to be reckoned with, not maybe in terms of going all the way, but in terms of having some really good hockey to watch and, you know, maybe getting there for the first time in a while, which would be really, really cool. And the reason that I started, you know, my fling with them, as it were, was because their goal song was Sweetness by Jimmy Eat World. So we really have to wait until the actual season starts and they score a goal and I can listen and hear and see if it's still the same goal song. If it's not, there may be some reevaluation. There may be
tough.
I am super tough. There may be some unswiping, but probably not because that's still a solid team.
Yeah, they made some really great moves. I mean, trades that we did not talk about. Sergei Bobrovsky was signed with Florida had an astronomical amount of money, 10 point something million, which every goalie in the league did a little fist pump. Thank you, Bob. So, and you know, last year, Luongo really struggled. He really struggled at times and was out. And so I think having solid goaltending down there is going to make a huge difference. And like you said, Quenneville, bringing in a coach of that caliber, there's always a coach bump when you bring a new coach in. So we'll see if it's a, if it's an anomaly or if it strings along. So that's a good one. I like that. Anybody else?
A few months back, I jokingly said that I was going to totally stand for the Minnesota Wild, which, if you know me, was kind of a huge joke because just the Minnesota Wild are one of those teams that I kind of tended to forget about.
Everybody
we've joked
does.
About like the silence from Doctor Who, where you turn away and you forget they even exist. They're sort of uncharitable nickname is sometimes the Minnesota Mild, and I think a lot of seasons in recent past they have lived down to that nickname. And yet, you know, Minnesota is not too far from Wisconsin, which is where I grew up. And there was a, I can't even remember the details at this point. It was somewhere in the middle of the summer. Something about, it might have been Pride, and there were people on that, I think it was their Facebook page, who were saying some kind of not nice, you know, homophobic type things, and their social media team was just like a champ, and really pushed back on that, and was very inclusive and polite and kind in the way that they did it. You know, these obviously these people weren't like being like super slur filled homophobic stuff. It was just a little bit of firm pushback, which I appreciated. So I was like, hey, I like seeing that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I now officially pick, this is what I said at the time, I officially pick the Minnesota Wild as going all the way to the playoffs. And not winning it all the way, but going far in the playoffs, which was, you know, kind of, it was a joke. But I feel like I might want to stand by my joke because not like super real reasons, except they did get rid of their GM, Paul Fenton, who had made a bunch of really boneheaded remarks about all kinds of random stuff. And I was happy to see a very strong move like that happen on the offseason. And maybe that throws things into a little bit of a tizzy for the team. But as we have seen, a tizzy doesn't necessarily mean that the team is out of things. Thank you, St. Louis Blues. So, yeah, my other swipe right is the Minnesota Wild. And I can't even believe I'm saying that.
I can't believe either. They are like the old age home of the NHL.
Aren't they?
They really are.
It's but I'll like, be cheering for him.
You're 35. Let me give you a 7-year contract for all kinds of money because
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But the Fenton thing was huge. And was it The Athletic that did that really candid article? I'm trying to think which organization because there was a might have been ESPN. I can't remember
now. I think it was the Athletic. But yeah, okay. There's a pretty long read about sort of the history of how that decision to let him go came about and the chaos that he was creating in the way that he operated before
the paranoia
that.
Paranoia in the offices. Yeah, it was bad.
It made me feel really bad for Minnesota fans. So I think part of the reason that I am just going to be cheering for them so hard this year is on behalf of the fans that had to live with all of that nonsense for all that time.
Right. We should send a donation, like send them all walkers if they need it, though. We could do a GoFundMe. All right. That's uncharitable because they're good hockey boys or good hockey men, old men. All right. I am, again, I'm having this problem with Dallas because Dallas has been a solid number two, maybe three for me for a long time. Yeah. But you know me, I'm hockey polyamorous anyway, because I love all of them mostly. Thank you, Team North America, for doing that to me. I know. Bowerheads. Perfect day. Wouldn't it be cool if like they had a reunion game?
I was going to suggest this. That was the thing I was going to bring up. Like, I want to see all the players from Team North America playing, like, either, like, maybe next season. Like, as good as all of them are at this point, is there any team in the world that,
oh my God,
that could stand up to them?
It would be amazing. Just like Nate McKinnon back with Connor McDavid. Oh my God, it would be so good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, anyway, you know, last year I had flirtation going with the Toronto Maple Leafs, which I know broke your heart. I am still very interested in what's happening up there just because now they've got all of their core under contract. They've made a couple moves to bring people in. I have to say, I mean, everybody's like crapping on Kyle Dubas for being a horrendous GM and signing these huge contracts. But he made some pretty creative offseason moves in order to clear up some cap space and try to shore up their defense, even if it is going to turn out to be a rental with Tyson Barrie. But I'm really curious to see now that they've got all these people under contract, we don't have that cloud of what are they going to do about Marner hanging over them, just to see what's going on. When I first fell in love with hockey and started following the sport a little bit more intently, the two teams that I followed on social media were, and I've said this before, Colorado Avalanche and Arizona Coyotes, because they both sucked. They were horrendous. But as you said, with the Minnesota Wild, they had amazing social media teams and they just were doing their best to try to keep everybody's spirits up. And I love the Colorado Avalanche last year being so welcoming to new fans and doing a primer on who all their players were to welcome all the bandwagon fans. So I love that because I love when sports are inclusive rather than exclusive and gatekeepy. So Colorado last year did some amazing things. They just had some amazing play. I mean, Mika Rantanen was amazing. I keep saying amazing because I just really loved watching them play. I loved watching Nate McKinnon blossom into the player that he is. It's going to be different not having Barrie be part of that core. More emotionally, I think, than playing wise. But they did bring in Nazem Kadri, and Andrei Burakovsky from the Capitals, who's also a small bean of a child. So I'm curious to see how that dynamic changed. And their social media is fun. They are really super engaging, and I love that. Back with Arizona, they brought Kessel in. I think they also got Bo Bennett in back, who took a year off to play in the KHL after kind of bouncing between the AHL and the NHL. They signed him. I want to see Phil in a different environment. I love Phil Kessel. Yeah. He is just a little grump of a troll man. But he's very, I don't know. I just find him incredibly entertaining and amusing. So... I'm really looking forward to
what
Arizona
does. Yeah,
we
both went to the same college, not at the same time. So,
So, like, you know him practically. You're practically friends.
Right. The Midwest is super tiny.
Yeah. And in conference last year, like I said, I kind of was really enjoying the Islanders run because I love the whole Robin Leonard story, which boo Islanders for playing him dirty like you did. But like I said earlier, New Jersey Devils look really fun. They just look fun. Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to be struck dead as I like literally am in Philadelphia. But that lineup, I mean, Jack Hughes, everybody just is raving to see what's going to become of him. And again, Simmons and Subban together and Heischer and Taylor Hall back and being healthy. So I know you're not a Taylor Hall fan, but you know, he's had a bit of a redemption story since he's come east.
Good for him.
Yeah. I think he was pretty douchey out in Edmonton.
A bit.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's what I haven't moved the needle too far. I know as the season goes on, there's going to probably be a team that kind of catches my eye a little bit. You know, we all flirted with the Hurricanes last year. And
yeah,
a bunch
I'm excited to see what they do.
I am too.
We'll see if they capture my heart again.
We'll see. You know, there's always that chance that there's another team that's going to sneak up on you and just steal your heart midway through just because they're doing something so well or they're so bad you just want to take them home and feed them soup.
Mm-hmm. And there's every possibility that, you know, our current backup friends are going to do something really terrible, like, you know, in the media or something. And we will have to disavow all knowledge of their existence.
This is true. I even told, because I have a fan rep at the Flyers who are trying to get me to buy season tickets, which I just can't do with my schedule. I would just miss too many games. Mm-hmm. But we chat. He calls every couple months. We have a really nice relationship. Hey, Dan, if you're listening. and I told him as one of our conversations, I said, you know, just let everybody that you talk to know that if you guys sign Slabovoinov, like, just take my name off your list. Like, it ain't happening. I'm done. And he's like, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. I hope that doesn't happen. He's eligible to play, I think, January.
Oh, I feel sick to my stomach.
Just thinking about it. Things that are not making me sick to my stomach is training camp and the people who are there. And I thought for this episode's What the Puck, we could talk about camp invitees and PTOs.
It's time for What the Puck. Those things everybody knows, but we all had to learn them sometime. So Deb, What the Puck is a PTO or an invite?
Okay, so these are people who are not currently on your team. They are not people that you have drafted. They're not any of your little junior baby hockey players who are playing up in Canada or in the USHL. They are undrafted players and or professional players who do not have contracts. So if you're a camp invite, that means that you are somebody who is a player who is undrafted currently. So you're still playing hockey, maybe in the NCAA or playing in junior hockey, whether, like I said, USHL or the Canadian hockey leagues up there, up north. And so scout some places, you know, this kid might have something, and you get invited to camp. And this happens a lot, particularly with college players. I feel that you tend to get more college players because I don't know that they're, especially in the States, like the draft system is as vibrant as it is up in Canada. So they tend not to be. If they're undrafted, they might be a lot of potential there. And I'm just, this is observation looking at camp roster lists. This is not based on any formal study or anything that I've read.
Yeah. And sometimes they will be like, just, they'll give some invites to people who are local just to sort of fill it out. Like I know in Edmonton, one or two, maybe more of the Edmonton Oil Kings, our WHL team, got invited to camp. Like, I know Cap was one of the players who I watched on the Oil Kings last year, who got invited to camp and, you know, probably is like, nothing's going to happen with that. But, you know, give them a look and fill out the rosters for training camp just to, you know, just to shake things up a little bit.
And sometimes it's a gesture. So yeah. Danny Breer's son was invited to the Flyers rookie camp this summer. Now, you know, he's an okay hockey player. Excuse me?
And who is Danny Briere?
Danny Briere is a former Flyer who is now currently, I believe he is GMing an ECHL team up in Maine. He's being groomed, let's put it that way, to take a position in the Flyers organization. And it's funny listening to interviews with him and learning how to GM a minor league team where you have to do everything, including signing paychecks and, you know, practically driving the Zamboni. It's interesting, but he has three children and one is, I believe at one time they all played hockey, but there's one that's currently playing in college and he was invited to the rookie camp and he doesn't have a chance, but it was kind of a courtesy thing. And, you know, the kid had a lot of fun and it was a chance, you know, it was a nice gesture. The same thing happens sometimes with PTOs. Now, a PTO is a little bit different. These are professional hockey players who...
Plus the P.
Right. Professional. It's a professional tryout. And they, you know, they get a little contract to do that. And they're currently unsigned. So if a team, if their contract was up, their team did not trade them for somebody else or could not trade them and declined to sign them again. They're just kind of out there floating around. They haven't retired. They still want to play. They'd like to play in the NHL. A lot of times players will maybe end their career overseas if they can't play in the NHL anymore. But these are players that still feel like they currently have something to give. And they may get invited to camp to do that. And sometimes, again, this can be, I just closed my link. I have a whole link of the current PTOs, and I just managed to click a check because I was going to run through them.
I can tell you about three of them. And the reason that I can tell you about three of them is because they are three former Oilers players who are all doing PTOs with the Calgary Flames.
Yes.
Not only did the Calgary Flames end up with Cam Talbot, my beloved goalie, whom I still love. I have talked with several just random people around Edmonton. And every time something about Cam Talbot comes up, everybody is just like, hand on heart, moment of silence. So sad to see Cam Talbot with Calgary. He's not on a PTO, though. He signed a contract. Tobias Reeder, Brandon Davidson, and Eric Greiba all used to play for the Edmonton Oilers. And they are all currently in training camp with the Flames.
Yeah, so, as are the Flames have a ton of people in training camp. So I did pull the link up. I didn't actually close. I diminished it. Oops. they have our former assistant captain and defenseman, Andrew McDonald.
I forgot about that.
Andrew McDonald's over there. Let's see, who else does Calgary have? They invited Tobias Reeder. Zach Rinaldo. He doesn't get a contract. He's another goon. And Devontae Smith-Pelly, which this guy just can... He was the hero of the Stanley Cup in which the Capitals played, but he just can't stick for some reason. So, I kind of hope he actually gets the contract because I like him. So these are players that are currently floating around out there. And I know we had Chris Stewart come to the Flyers training camp. And I actually think Chuck Fletcher drafted him originally. So it may not be that he actually thinks this guy can play. It might be I have a relationship with this player, or I have a friendship with this player. And if I invite him to camp, you know, maybe that'll generate some buzz. His name will be out there again, sort of thing. Sometimes players get contracts for another year. Sometimes teams and clubs are looking for, you know, that kind of veteran presence, which I'm air quoting that because that's a term that hockey clubs like to throw out a lot. And sometimes it's like Michael Neuwirth, who is our former goalie right now, is on a professional tryout in Toronto, and they need a backup goalie because they traded their backup goalie away. And he'll probably end up getting a contract. You know, he still has some life left into him. I mean, it's fragile and it'll probably break if the wind blows, but you know, I guess he's a warm body. So that's what a PTO is. Not every player gets a contract, but sometimes they do. So it's a way to, it's sort of a last gasp in the NHL, I think.
Yeah, I remember if it was can't remember if it was last season or the season before, but I remember I learned about what a PTO was because the Oilers had a professional tryout with Chris Versteeg, and he was looking good through training camp. And I was kind of like, yeah, I kind of want this guy. And at the end of it, he ended up not signing with the Oilers. Guess who he signed with? The Calgary Flames. Like, he just, they swooped in and stole him up. And then he wasn't super great on the Flames. So I was kind of like, oh, maybe we dodged a bullet. But but yeah, you never know how it's going to go with a PTO because there's not an actual long-term contract signed.
Right.
So anything could still happen.
It can. So there you go. So when you see those, if you happen to look at a training camp roster, which, you know, a lot of teams post online, you know, you can pick them up if you go to training camp, and they have a lot of information about the players, and it'll say camp invite. And so now you know what that means. So go forth with that knowledge. All right, Erica, why don't you close us out with a hockey tidbit?
Well, today's hockey tidbit is, I think we should talk just very briefly about mascots. Because I feel like your team and my team have the most terrifying mascots in the entire NHL.
No doubt.
And yet, we love them. We really do. I never thought it would happen, but eventually Hunter stole my heart. And he was there today at the scrimmage. The scrimmage was not at Rogers Place. It was at the Edmonton Downtown Community Arena, which is like, it's attached to Rogers Place, so it's kind of in the same building, but it's like what you were saying. It's all benches that sort of have a back to them, but it's not nice seats, and it's just there's seats on one side, and so you're right up close and you're right on top of them, and yeah, Hunter was there. He was working the crowd. He was hanging out with the kids. He started banging his little drum to get people to you know, the bam 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 bam, let's go Oilers, like that sort of thing, from like right behind where we were sitting, and it almost popped my eardrum out. He quickly realized that he didn't need to bang it quite so hard as he does in Rogers Place because it's a lot smaller. He needed to walk past us at one point to get to these two little girls who were sitting on one side of us. And as he came past, he gave Steven a great big hug. It was delightful. And he patted me on the head a couple of times as he was going back and forth. And I don't know if this has always been the case and I haven't noticed it or if it's a new thing, but Hunter makes a noise. It's like this high-pitched squeaky voice. It's really kind of disturbing and creepy, sort of like a Punch and Judy like squeak, so almost like a kazoo sound. You can almost tell the words he's saying, but it's mostly just squeaking. He had sat behind us for a little while, and we had a quote-unquote conversation with Hunter, and it was it was actually a lot of fun. So that just perked me up, getting to hang with the Lynx. Murder Cat is the best.
Murder Cat, yeah. And as everybody knows, Gritty.
Gritty is like, he's in a different league altogether, practically, when it comes to mascot love.
I know, he's not even a year old. He's not even a year old.
I think babies are cute, Deb. That's how it works.
I guess. And I got to say, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, like, I am a soccer fan and a season ticket holder to the Philadelphia Union. And yesterday was Fang's birthday. Now, poor Fang debuted about a month before Gritty. He's supposed to be a snake because the Union's logo is a snake. Ugh. But he's got arms and legs, so he's just really a salamander, let's be honest. But he's trying really hard. And then Gritty came along. And let me tell you, it's all like Fang who? But last night's game was Fang's birthday. So they brought all the local mascots out except the Fanatic, who I think is having a little copyright issues. trademark issues. I don't know. That's what I heard, the rumor. But Swoops, the Philadelphia Eagles mascot, was there. Melvin, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms mascot, and a bunch of other mascots. I have no idea who they were.
And mascot birthday parties are ridiculous.
Yes.
I've been to one. It's weird.
It is very weird. Well, you know, Fang came out, everybody's like, clap, clap, clap. Gritty shows up. The crowd loses its cheese. And Gritty literally stole the show. Now, a good mascot can interact and be an emote in that big, giant, furry costume. other mascots just kind of stand there and wave. You know what I mean? So watch your mascot. Is he a good mascot? Whoever is in that gritty costume, masterclass, let me tell you. And this summer, I mean, come on. We had Gritty did all sorts of fun videos, including a hot girl summer dance set to Lizzo's Juice. And I adore Lizzo above all things. So that just like endeared him to me even more. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It is impressive to see a good mascot interacting because like when I said he was working the crowd, like he went over and he sat on this little cat. He sat down on this little kid's lap and like pretended he didn't know he was there. He stole some lady's purse and started going through it. Obviously, she was totally OK with us. It wasn't like
shaking her down.
He was holding a baby doll of like one of the little girls that was sitting next to us and just like, you know, cradling this doll. It was amazing. He was just doing some great work out there.
Yeah. So. Mascots, I was never fond of them, but then we got Gritty.
Yeah,
and now, yeah. All right, that's a good hockey tidbit. I'm looking forward to year two of Gritty. Looking forward to this new Flyers management, Michelle Therrien. Please don't break my little hockey boys. I am cautiously optimistic about what's happening with my other teams. With a weather eye. I'm slightly terrified of New Jersey, but also really interested in watching them play. I don't know. I'm excited for your Oilers. Oh, you guys deserve something up there. I just want you to be happy about hockey again, Erica. It was a rough year last year.
I want that John Hamm happiness.
I do. I want to spark that John Hamm joy.
Yep.
Hopefully it will. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We are looking forward to coming at you this entire season, bringing you our hockey hot takes.
Hot takes, lukewarm takes, slightly cool takes. Who
slightly
knows?
Cool takes. Amusing takes, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So thanks for listening. And remember, hockey is for everyone, especially for you.
Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at beginnerspuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our great show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.